Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sports books on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the 7th pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes! Harper, the swing of his life!
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
Steps into it, passes, caught, Diggs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Football Friday here on the network. Yes, it's time for Moneyline, the best hour of your day. And what a way to start your weekend off. Donnie Wrightside here and Kevin Walsh. A lot to get to, includes Major League Baseball recap, a nice college football Saturday, NFL Sunday, and much, much more, which includes the Fightin' Phils moving on. We are set. AL Championship Series, NL Championship Series, and away we go.
Now do your job, okay? You can be excited for the Phillies. Acknowledge that the buys are absolutely disastrous.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
This is a
Phillies were better. Look, the
Donnie, more six seeds.
A terrible September. A terrible September. They were awful in September.
No, they weren't.
They coasted.
No,
they had no edge. And the one thing we looked at in the playoffs was, oh my God, the Braves got the number one seed. That's disastrous. Why? Because the Philadelphia Phillies, you knew were going to play them. It's not a surprise. The Phillies crushed them last year and crushed them again.
Yeah,
as we welcome
radio
in the audience,
yeah,
and they all agree with it as well here. So go ahead.
Donnie, in the 2 years that we've had this, more six seeds have made the championship series than one seeds. The Astros have advanced both times because obviously they are great and they actually rely on pitching a ton. The other teams to receive a bye are 1-5 in the divisional round. Look, again, good for the Phils. Nobody's saying they're a bad baseball team. It is very obvious that the byes, I mean, three teams won 100 games this year. They went 1-9 in the postseason. Stop it.
What you did in April, May, and June?
Oh, my God.
Who cares about that?
I mean,
it's hot when you get into the playoffs. That's every single sport. The Braves were brutal in September. Brutal.
It's not.
Look at the Dodgers getting swept out. They kicked half their roster off there because they were, committing, atrocities out there, right? I mean, come on.
No.
They're getting injured.
No.
They're, getting arrested.
No.
That happens. That happens.
No.
And the playoffs are about who your two best starters are. The Philadelphia Phillies have dominant starters. The Braves don't have dominant starters. The Dodgers, they don't even have a starter. The Diamondbacks have two dominant starters. That's how you win.
Donnie, we are talking about the Braves lineup that was unstoppable all year. year long.
Until September.
Oh my God, this is so bad. They were under
500 in September? That's why they played into the playoffs. They got smoked.
Donnie, there was three. But Donnie, it's the sample size is not one series. The sample size is every single team that gets a bye loses, except for the Houston Astros. That's the sample size. It's a two-year run now where teams that aren't the Houston Astros are 1-5. Every single one of them has been the favorite in the series, and they have lost every single time.
This isn't a one-off. Should have been the favorite against Atlanta.
No, they shouldn't have been the favorite.
Yes, they should have.
That's not how pricing works.
I break down a baseball game.
But again, you keep responding with one thing. Donnie, the sample size is bigger. You're ignoring the key things. But this is not just Philly Atlanta. See, Donnie, if the Braves would have, or rather the Phillies win this series, right? But the Dodgers went a competitive five with Arizona, and Baltimore won a competitive five with Texas. We're not having this conversation. I'm not telling you that upsets can't happen. What I am telling you is that upsets happening every single time for the teams that are now not on the bye is showing that there is a clear disadvantage, clear as day, inarguable.
No, well, I would disagree and say, if the Atlanta Braves won 30 in a row heading into the playoffs and took a five-day break and lost, like, you know what? There might be something to it. The Braves were on cruise control for a month and got smoked.
So what about the Dodgers?
You are not sharpening your pencil at the end of the season. What do you mean, what about the Dodgers? They kicked off half their pitcher. They didn't have a pitching staff.
But forget about the pitching. They couldn't hit.
They ran into Cy Young.
Brandon Fott. Brandon Fott?
What, one guy? One guy.
The Dodgers only a three-game series.
The pitching was for Arizona way better than the Dodgers. That's how you win in playoff baseball. Nobody's ever, like, the joke would be like, hey, we're going to hit our way to a World Series. I always bring that up because that's not what you do. You pitch your way to a World Series. Pitching wins. We always talked about the Orioles the entire season. This is interesting, man. They got five no-names pitching well. Let's see how they hold up in the playoffs. They didn't, because it turns out they didn't have good pitching. That's all I'm saying. Pitching wins. The Phillies dominated. Arizona's got an awesome starting staff. They're 1-2 punch. And in a short series, you need two really good pitchers, and they have them. The Dodgers didn't. That's why.
The Orioles, again, I know that their pitching is bad. They did have one big breakout game. The other two games, they combined for three total runs. You cannot sit there and every single, that's because Andrew Heaney's a great pitcher. Stop it. That's not the truth. Because he's not.
Completely different. It's
yes,
high
and
leverage.
That's why the buys are very clearly early. Not
you
helping.
You are bringing everybody in there. That's the weather. If they're not preparing right and they're sitting around for 5 days, there is no sample size. Pitching wins. The better pitching won in every single series. That's baseball. Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler, smoke anybody, including Strider, who's not ready for the big time, who's never won a playoff game and gets all the hype for throwing 99 miles an hour. See ya! Bombed away again last night. If you don't have the pedigree, you are going to get rocked. That's what it is. That's all it is.
By the way, most people, Donnie, would have taken Fried and Strider in a series before Wheeler and Nolan.
No way.
100%.
No way.
100%.
Absolutely not.
100%.
Absolutely. And also, 100%. How did the Braves even lose this series? The Braves started fresh game number one with their ace on the mound against the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen game and lost it. Why? Because they were terrible in September. That's why.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Donnie, we see that all the time in other sports. The Denver Nuggets didn't play well in the final month of the regular season. They won an NBA championship. But you just told me that this is how it is in every sport. Stop.
You got to be hot. You have
no,
to
you don't. Well. I just told you Denver wasn't hot.
What?
How did you respond to what I just said to you by saying you got to be hot?
Wait, Denver had the best player in the sport on their team.
So did Atlanta.
No, they not. Apparently not. Pitching matters in baseball. Pitching matters in baseball. The better pitching won across the board. Tired, not tired, hype or not, the better teams won in the playoffs, and we're here to stay. Love it. That's how you break down a Friday. Let's get after it. It's Moneyline. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Superstars stepping up in the biggest moments. You saw it last night on display. I mean, Nick Castellanos. Nobody's ever done it before in the history of Major League Baseball. Back-to-back games, multiple home runs, and the Phillies needed every single one of those. And you can argue the biggest hit he's had so far in the playoffs was the solo home run to tie it 1 yesterday. The Braves take the lead 1-0. You can still feel like the antsiness, and yeah, there's a long way to go in the game. But that home run, after nobody was really touching Strider, basically for runs, got it 1-1. It was fun. And also, the stress late in baseball games, man, brings me way back. I shouldn't be getting this stressed out at my age at 46 years old. I really shouldn't be getting that stressed out. And also, shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook. That's like 17 minutes ahead of my TV broadcast. So whenever I got a little bit stressed out, I went to the app just to see if they got an out or not. I was doing it last night all night. Like, they were getting a tough spot. Like, I can't even wait on the next six pitches because I know I'm behind. Let me tune in. Yeah. And I'll tell you a funny story. Last night in the ninth inning, right, I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. Kimbrel's in the game. And I was like, you know what? This is way ahead. I got to check this out. Like, just, I kept telling my wife, we need just to get the first guy out of the inning. And then you can sort of like, okay, manage your way through it. Base hit here. It doesn't matter. But you can't start a big inning without getting the first guy on. So I hit the FanDuel app. But it must have been loaded for like an inning or two before. And I shut it off. I go, there we go. First guy's out. I watched that base hit. I said, what is going on here? And I flipped back to the FanDuel app, and it then showed first and third, nobody out. And I just said, you know what? I'm about to. The TV is ready to get turned off. I don't even care about it. They're going to go to extra innings. I don't even want to know about it here. But miraculously, somehow, you know, Strom comes in and goes 1-2-3, which was pretty impressive. But that was a high wire walk the entire way through that game. And drama in baseball is pretty fun.
Do you like the Castellanos antics with the with the commentators? I can't tell where I land on it.
He's a very interesting guy, and the reason I bring that up is you get warm and fuzzies from certain players, right? Like, oh, he just looks like a good guy. I joked this morning, was like, if you saw Bryce Harper in the street, Bryce, what's up, man? Like, he probably would dap you up, smile. You want to get a selfie with me? Go ahead, smile. If you did it to Castellanos, like, he might level you like to the ground. Like, whoa, where'd that come from? Stay out of my face, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I actually think he's so locked in that that's his public persona. But if you watch him with his teammates and when they're celebrating and having fun, he looks like the greatest guy in the world having a good time. But it's an odd interview for him because he's almost business and annoyed at the same time. But I couldn't get a kick out of it. I was like, you get it? Like, you know what I mean? Here's the mic. Hey, by the way, Nick, you did something nobody's ever done in baseball. What was that, a question? There's no reason for that. There was no reason for that.
No, and like he dropped an F-bomb. I don't know if you saw on an MLB Network interview. Like, yeah. I don't. It's look, the Phillies are super, super likable. So, but I don't know. His stuff is. It depends on the mood you're in, probably, when you watch it.
Yeah, he's the same because the Phillies got Castellanos because the cheapness of the Marlins. He always wanted to go to Miami. That's where he's from, down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and that's where he expected to go on a big contract, and I believe was told that from when. But this was what the difference when I think when Jeter was there, I guess they were reaching out and saying, you know, it makes sense here. You got to come down here. You're a big bat. We can afford you and do this. I think when Jeter left, things changed in that organization, and the Phillies were like, okay, we'll swoop in 5 years, $120 million, $100 million. We'll sign you here. But I always remember one of his earlier things when he was struggling in Philadelphia. It almost came out like, well, I didn't expect to be here, so I'm going to try to make the best of it. But obviously, he's much more ingrained now with his teammates and stuff like that. But when you have your eyes or your heart set, like, man, I'm going to go be a Marlin. Like, I always wanted to play for Miami, big money, that's my city, and do that. And you wind up in Philadelphia, the complete opposite. But he's getting back into it. But he is a very odd interview. And I'm going to be assured here now, I don't know how many more times, like, even if he has a big game, they're just going to grab Bryce Harper. Hey, Bryce, get over here. Talk to us about this game. What about
one
of those. That's coming. That is coming.
And again, like, rightfully so, though, because the people at home are not like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, this awesome moment Castellanos is going to say, and like, that's not what the people at home are.
Hey, you play in front of this great crowd. How's it feel? It feels good, but we got to win tomorrow. Okay, we done? All right, see ya.
Yeah. Now, because you were obviously locked in on that, did you get any eyes on the NFL last night? Because
yes. Well, here's what I had the game on the TV, and then I put Amazon on my laptop in front of the TV. So I watched the entire football game and baseball game. Yes.
So, listen, I was on the total over.
Ooh.
And my people are going to tell me that I'm crazy.
You think money gets the wind? What are you, an idiot?
Yeah. So, Donnie, like, this is the thing. You'll at least, I know, admit this. The game going under had absolutely nothing to do with the damn
yes.
win.
And
not a thing.
Before you get it out, let me just tell you. Guys, if you were watching the game as well, they were kicking, like, 70-yard field goals in both directions. I couldn't even understand it. I'm telling you right now, the first thing I noticed was when he kicked a 60-yarder and blasted it through the uprights. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's the windy side. Well, the second half to clinch the game, he had a 52-yarder that he hit at the top of the net.
Yeah,
I'm like,
look good
what
from
is
90.
This?
Yes. Look like it was good from yes. 90. So it was really frustrating for me because, again, like the pathway to getting there that I was hoping to, right, was 35 from Kansas City, play relaxed defense, and you'll get what you need out of, you know, 35-14, you know. But maybe Denver can hang more. And the Chiefs played the stupidest football I've ever seen in the first half and cost the total. You know, because people say, oh, you had a whole second half. No. You can't go with that Chiefs offense, three drives, all inside the Denver 20 and be sat on 3 points. The total was dead right there. So that was really frustrating to fade the wind, be correct about it, but Kansas City play like they did. We had Tom, I know you guys talked to Tom Vecchio in the morning. Tom and I were going back and forth, obviously all respect, about the wind. And he's like, I'm going to play the Mahomes under 272 and a half. And like, we both lost. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been one thing if it was like, all right, you know what? Good for Tom. You know, Mahomes threw for 300. No problem. No problem in that football game. Because again, it was this awful Denver defense.
Yes, it was. And also, just we're going to get to the phone lines here as they're lighting up here. But let me just get this point out for you correctly. Sometimes you get angry because you have the best football player in the world with Patrick Mahomes. You go for a mush push on a 4th-and-2, like fake field goal. It doesn't work. You're like, wouldn't you rather have Mahomes out there? And number two, there was a 3rd-and-1. I don't know if it was the second quarter, third quarter. You had a formation where Kadarius Toney took the snap and sort of ran like a wildcat offense. Yeah. And it goes like 2-yard loss. So I'm saying, like, if you have Mahomes, number one, nobody's open. He probably runs for the first down anyway, but you might have a big play. Like, why would you be taking Patrick Mahomes out of his hands in two scenarios where, no doubt in my mind, he gets the first down in both of those equations? So, didn't work there. Let's get to the phone lines here and have some fun on a football Friday. 844-843-6879. Gary in Texas first up here on this Friday. What's up there, Gary?
Oh, nothing much. I was calling to get some of the best advice I had. I did it last year. It has to do with, like, the in-game parlays. And I heard you mention yesterday with Donnie, you were talking about, well, why it doesn't let you, let's say round robin a couple of players.
Yes,
do this
correct.
For me. Take 10 seconds. Look at one of your round robin tickets yesterday and tell me in a minute if it gives you the actual prices for each player. Now, the reason why I'm doing that is because when you parlay something, especially on the in-game parlay tab, let's talk about FanDuel. If you wanted to take a quarterback under or over, let's say over his passing yards at minus 110, and you want to parlay it, let's say, with the other quarterback or anything that's minus 110, you might say, hey, let me do it. But keep in mind that the payout is not 260. The payout on two minus 110s in the same game parlay is plus 220. And the reason being that, like, any time you also do a same-game parlay, and let's say you include it with another game, the other game will show you maybe it was like plus 150, but those two same-game parlays, it won't even show you the odds on your ticket. Now, you know, you agreed to it because you saw what it paid. But keep in mind that the same-game parlay odds, it isn't paying what it would under normal parlay conditions. So, I mean, sometimes people might want to just bet those two separate. Another example is that one of the hosts here actually on the network said, hey, it's letting me parlay under first quarter and under first half. Sure, it'll let you do that. It doesn't pay you near 2.6 to 1. Matter of fact, it pays you below 2 to 1. I mean, it allows you to do it. But what it does is it doesn't show you on the ticket. It no longer shows you what you got for each person. It almost doesn't want you to know that. It shows you, hey, what you're getting is plus 175 on this. And by the way, I would take that if you want to take under first quarter, under first half. It gives me plus 175.
That's a good point. It's correlation. Correlation at its finest there. Good call by Gary here. We'll get back to the phone lines. I know X-Man is waiting around on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline with Donnie and Kevin. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Friday afternoon. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh having some fun setting the table for this weekend and taking some phone calls. 844-843-6879. X-Man in Virginia calling in here on a Friday. You know he has tickets ready to go for this weekend. X-Man, talk to us, brother. What do we got?
This is what we got. We got two hockey.
Yeah.
We got the Washington Cap regulation, the New Jersey Devils in regulation. We got two college football spreads. Fresno State to cover the 4.5. Colorado to cover the 11.5. 15-1.
Okay, no, 15-1 on a Football Friday with hockey involved.
Yeah, it's a big ticket, no doubt. I'm on that Colorado game tonight. I like the over in the football game, and I like the Shedeur Sanders number.
Yeah, somebody's upset about the start of that game, too, by the way, K-Dub. Do you know who that
Deion
is?
Now, is that a man after your own heart? He's like, Donnie, you think he loved that?
Time. They're playing in prime time. Come on, prime.
Do you think, Donnie, you think he loved that 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. kick he had against USC?
Apparently he did.
Like, man,
apparently
I had my whole day. I had my whole day.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, that's a guy that's grown up a lot in his life here. But, yeah, I like where X-Man's going with this, but I did get a kick out of Deion being really upset with actually playing in prime time. But you know what? He's one of us, Kevin. He's one of me and you. We always say, look, man, these games got to be catered to the East Coast. And that's basically what he was telling us. Fantastic.
To be fair to Deion, what time is that kick tonight? Is it 11?
No, it's 10 o'clock, which I guess is 8 o'clock where he's at. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, the funny thing about that is now, so I didn't see the full Deion quote. So I'm assuming here, tell me, I was going to say you could tell me if I'm wrong, but you're not going to because it's going to feed into your point.
Yes.
But Deion is probably not like 8 p.m. is too late. Deion's like, no, I want more eyes on my kids. This is ridiculous. Why would my game start at 10 p.m.?
Yeah,
right?
It was like a twofold. Yeah, it was like my kids got to wait around all day, basically. Technically it's a weekend night, but it's still a Friday. And number two, the people on the East Coast are going to be asleep. I was like, man, he gets us. He really gets us. I will be asleep for that football game against Stanford here when most people would be wanting to watch that on a Friday night. But I did get a kick out of that. But why don't we do, since we started talking a little college football, dip into it. There's some really good football games tomorrow overall.
It's awesome,
and none bigger on the West Coast there, Pac-12 style, 3:30 p.m. kickoff, Washington, Oregon. And sometimes I just like pageantry of football. I've always been a fan of college football growing up all my life. The two things that we knew out on the West Coast there, Oregon and Washington, you know, Washington's won national championships. Oregon's been a lot of fun. But the atmospheres for their home games are awesome, and I always dig that stuff. When you watch a game at Husky Stadium, when they are right, and I mean playing well, the screen shakes, not because in your house, like the TV's bouncing up and down. No, the stadium literally is shaking. And Autzen Stadium, if you just take a picture of Autzen Stadium, like from the sky, like that place actually gets louder than any place else. Yes, it does. I can't wait for this one because I know how big this game is. And also, the crowd is going to be sensational.
Everything is going to be awesome about that football game. The interesting bit, though, is, you know, both teams coming off of a bye, right? So when there's so much talent on the offensive side of it, Donnie, and you now get that extra week to prepare, you know, I am tempted by this total because there's a part of us, you know what, Oregon can run the rock here a little bit and maybe they can slow this down. But that's one of those games, I've seen it before, where I try and be smart playing under. And in the first quarter, it's going absolutely brilliantly. Midway through the second quarter, you're like, look, we're more than on pace. Then somehow at halftime, it doesn't even make sense what you watch. You're like, well, how is it 28-17? What just happened? Like, we were on pace. So I'm interested by the total. I haven't been able to dive yet into some of those player props there. Like, is the Penix touchdown prop 2.5 heavily juiced?
Yes.
Or what is the juice on it, though?
Yeah, let me bring it up here. Let me find it here because I was looking at like, first of all, if you're looking for, like, value, as we like to say, in a college football game with quarterbacks, there's no value in this game whatsoever. Like, it's actually ridiculous here. Let me slide down. 3:30. Where are we at here? So many 330 games here. Is it on like a different tab, like a major?
Go to that top 25 tab. That should
work. There we go. Yeah, probably, oh, there we go. Okay, got it. All right, 66.5 total. Let me see the touchdown market here. Tons of college football specials in that, too. Pennix Jr., 3.5 plus 106. Bo Nix, 2.5 plus 142. So you need four touchdown passes from Pennix in this game to cash it.
That's too many. I would lean under, to be honest. Is it
under minus 140?
It's a lot to pay, though, right? When you're taking the Heisman favorite under a total, like that, that's a lot to pay. Do you think? So it depends what you think of USC Notre Dame. Do you think if Oregon wins, Bo Nix becomes the favorite no matter what Caleb does, or it's still going to matter what Caleb does with the USC game?
Well, I think it does matter because let's say USC, Kevin, had Arizona or Arizona State this week, then I do think that he would become the front runner. But there's a lot of people that are going to be watching Notre Dame, USC, and if he plays well, you're going to get the bump. Because the one thing that we can always say and agree upon, there's a lot of Heisman voters. Trust me, on a Saturday, they're not sitting at home watching every single snap of every single game they need to watch. They're going to catch the highlights or the big game at night. And that's what's going to happen. You see some highlights or say, man, you see USC? Still unbeaten. Four touchdown passes. 400 yards out of Caleb Williams. It almost doesn't matter. Like, Bo Nix did the same thing and won at Washington. I still think Caleb will get the nod because even though the biggest game of the day is not Notre Dame, it's going to be a lot of eyeballs on USC Notre Dame at night.
No doubt. What are the odds, though? Imagine telling someone that. Like, USC Notre Dame is not going to be your game of the day. You know, more people say, well, neither of these teams can win a title heading in. So, I'm interested to see what Caleb can do in the spot. That total 60.5 is, you know, showing a lot of respect to the Notre Dame defense, is what I would say. You know, 28.5. I was really hoping a 27.5 was going to pop on that USC team total, but it's obvious, you know, 28.5 is what you have to pay in order to get to that number. But again, those aren't the only games out there. There's just a lot of interesting spots on this board. You've got that UCLA Oregon State game, which looks pretty interesting. Tennessee Texas A&M, which could make a difference inside the SEC. I'm excited to watch Alabama Arkansas. There's a lot of really, really good spots on tomorrow's college football board.
Miami gets back into the thick of things with a win.
That's an interesting
Carolina.
One,
people popping that one, 56.5. A total in that game, the Hurricanes getting 3.5. And stayed that way all week, too. Hasn't moved off that number.
That totals, that's not the number, though, if they knee it out, is it? It's a flat three? That can't be. I feel like that's what's tempting about Miami. Can Miami get off of the mat, though? Like, when the sideline pictures are just a bunch of kids crying their eyes out, and you tell them they got to go play, like, a huge football game this weekend, like, what's the mindset for the U, Donnie, coming off of the Georgia Tech loss?
Yeah, it's fun. I think you want to buy into it more than it actually means. Like, you got to remember, like, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, like, ADD Central. Like, forget about, like, the next. They probably don't even have any idea about it on Tuesday morning. Like, hey, look, we got another game this football week, you know. We're not going to let it drag. It wasn't the last game. It didn't eliminate them from anything. Was it a tough loss? Yes, it was. Two ways you could take it. If they get beat this weekend, what is the narrative going to be? Yep, what did you expect? I mean, they blew the game last week. They should have had a win. There's no way they could recover. They play extremely well this week. Well, yeah, look, Cristobal got in their ear. I made a mistake, you know. Help me out, guys, and we could still have a big year, and they go prove it here. I put it this way. I wouldn't be playing this game either way saying, well, Miami lost last week, and that's one of my angles. I just wouldn't be doing it.
What I would say is imagine the world, Donnie, where what happened with Miami, you can say, well, here's what happened the last time a Cristobal team did that. Like, you shouldn't be able to say that, but you can. And Oregon did the following week play a ranked Cal team and beat them by two touchdowns. So, he's been in this spot before in terms of having to right the ship, because I think what is tough, but again, he did right it. And I know what you're saying, like, things move quickly. That's one of those situations where kids get angry at coaches all the time. That's it, where you're like, he just cost us the game.
Yes.
Why in the world were we not kneeing? He just ruined our season. Like, that is the feeling in that room.
Yes, and it's happened before multiple times. I mean, you ever seen the movie All the Right Moves, Kevin? when all you had to do was take a knee or take a quarterback sneak, you hand it off to Sal Vucci, it's a fumble in the end zone, you lost. Stefan Djordjevic blames the coach, gets thrown off the team right after the game. I mean, that's tales all the time. How many times do you watch that movie?
Countless.
Do yourself a favor. Well, it's 1983. It's high school football. You need to get involved in that. By the way, let me just sidetrack this for a second. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. The Iron Claw, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Kerry, Devon Erichs. You got Zac Efron jacked up, looking exactly like Kerry Von Erich out there. It's amazing to see. And it caught me off guard because I remember, you know, sometimes you get like snippets like a year ago, like, hey, look, they're starting to film the movie and do this. I'm like, you know, you sort of bury it in the back of your mind. They put the trailer out there. And the minute I saw it, you know, the jokes, of course, are like, Kevin's going to need time off from work. He's got to wait in line to get tickets and all that stuff. But again, it's not really like your genre because you weren't even born when Kerry Von Erich and, you know, the Von Erichs were dominant all over the place. But I love the story. Like, I love indie wrestling. It's not necessarily indie wrestling, but it's not a, it's not Hulk Hogan.
The
right? The story of Hulk Hogan. Correct. Yeah. The territories were so much fun back in the day. And the minute I saw that come out, like, number one, it looks like it's just going to be a really good movie, but the wrestling backdrop in there, if you know anything about the Von Erichs, is really interesting.
Yeah, no, it should be great. And I'm excited. I'll definitely be checking it out. I don't remember the guy's name. I know everyone loves him from Shameless or The Bear. I don't remember his name, the actor, but he's another one that I know is like kind of becoming more popular. In terms of me needing time off, I'll tell you about that.
Oh no,
off air.
Now have you told anybody behind the scenes? That's the question.
No,
are we just gonna like you know?
No,
mill
I'm
around
thinking
about, and
I'm thinking about sneaking to Mexico.
Just throw it in there, see what happens, hang out. No big deal. Yeah. We'll handle it. We'll handle it is what they like to say. Football Friday continues right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Kevin on Moneyline. Let's get back to the NFL card here because there are some interesting options this weekend. Let's do it. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's put it down this weekend. I already bet Alvin Kamara to score an anytime touchdown against Houston this weekend. Scored one last week. That's what I like so far. Now I'm going to get invested. I always do. We're going to be rolling with, you know, round robins this weekend, some touchdown parlays, and have a good time. But I made a decision this week, Kevin, in my eliminator contest. It was down to Kansas City, which was the easy one to take. Thursday night football. You know me. I love home teams on Thursday night. Denver stinks. They won by double digits. But I didn't take Kansas City, and I don't feel bad about it. Like, oh, no. I think I might have missed out because I still think I have a decent shot here. I took the Rams, favored by 7 at home against Arizona. I know it's a division ball game. Same thing technically that you were getting on Thursday night. Stayed away from Kansas City a little bit. Maybe some of the weather elements there. You know, Travis Kelce, how healthy he was. And I just didn't want to get beaten like, oh, Thursday night football, ugly game. And I said, you know what? I'm going to save Kansas City for a better time. There'll be chances down the road where they're going to be favored by double digits again. But I didn't know how many chances I would get with like the Rams being favored by 7. And arguably the best player on the Cardinals in James Conner would miss this game. Liked what I saw last week out of the Rams. I do think they win, but this is the first week where I didn't paint by numbers. Kansas City won, again, like I thought they were going to, but I went with the Rams this weekend as a 7-point favorite at home to sort of say, okay, I'm comfortable with this. I can start playing that game saying if I really want to win this eliminator and go, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks deep, these are some of the chances. And is it really a chance? Like, it's still a touchdown. I didn't take a 2.5-point favorite that have a good vibe on at this spot, but I went against Kansas City. It's the first time I didn't paint by numbers this season.
Yeah, it's a very reasonable risk to take because KC is a team that you'd love to have at your disposal, you know. I'm interested in using the Rams myself. You know, the thing is DRS, right? Like, what's the big ups? Is there a chance Carolina could win this week? Because Carolina is now, I don't know what you think of that game in terms of a side, but we know, like, are the Panthers going to go unbeaten? No, right? Like, if you had to guess how many wins they finished
with. You mean
with.
No wins?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, winless, yeah. I should say.
Yes.
Right? If you had to guess how many wins does that team finish with? Between 2 and 4?
Yes.
You know, I mean, just, well, you know, at some point it's going to come crashing in. I don't know. Maybe Miami is just going to pummel this team. But I'm glad I used Miami last week, because it would be all too tempting to use Miami again here in this spot.
14s now. That was 13.5 this morning. One of the things, question was like, wonder where that line goes. Like, boy, if it goes to 14, that'd be something. Yeah, it's at 14 now. It just shows you how bad Carolina is playing, how good Miami actually is. And, you know, you'll see if that rolls along. But I just thought it was an interesting point for me, first week on an eliminator contest, taking somebody outside of the surefire victory, which I've just been banking on all these weeks so far. By the way, Philadelphia, a couple mysterious injuries here. No Jalen Carter this weekend. Twisted his ankle on a Thursday practice. Said it's not serious, but they're just being, you know, cautious with that. And also no Darius Slay this weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I take this one of two ways. If this was the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, both of those guys would be playing. Are they disrespecting the Jets here by going like, hey, guys, look, we're going to win this game whether or not you play. Get healthy, because we got some big-time football games coming up, including next week.
What I would say is that certainly possible, and I don't think that's disrespect, because even if it's more so, hey, listen, Miami's far more important and, like, so direct, I think the other way to look at it is it's not just the Miami game, right? The schedule is going to be getting far more difficult for the Eagles, and you want to be as healthy as you can heading into that stretch there. You know, like, if Quez Watkins is going to make the difference going up against the Jets, then, well, there are a lot more problems than just the Quez Watkins health, is what I would say on that. I have a Daniel Jones question for you, my friend.
Good. I'm going to answer that in a second here. And by the way, the Eagles-Dolphins game.
Yeah.
I know the Eagles are wearing their throwbacks. Miami, please wear your throwbacks. It might be the most beautiful game in the history of sports, with good football teams with unbelievable uniforms. Now go ahead with your Daniel Jones point.
I think you got the creamsicles this week, by the way, for the Bucks.
It's a beautiful uniform for the Bucks. Yeah, it's beautiful.
My Daniel Jones question is, if the unthinkable happens and Tyrod Taylor beats the Buffalo Bills this week, does he keep the job if Daniel Jones is healthy?
Nope, because this is not a organization that has, you know what, I'm Bill Belichick, we stink, and yes, there's some talk about I might get fired, probably is not going to be the case, trust me on this, I know what I'm doing, okay, we'll do that. This is an organization that a new GM came in and gave out one of the worst contracts. You want to talk about Deshaun Watson's contract is bad? Equally, it's Daniel Jones. There's no way year one of that deal, midway through the season, not even midway, they're like, you know what, yeah, we really messed that up. We should have listened to Donnie Kevin on the early line for 6 months that told us we were idiots because nobody else wanted to bid a dollar on a quarterback. We bid $40 million a year. They're never going to admit they're wrong. They will go down with the ship than opposed to admit they're wrong, because if they do, they'll be fired, and they don't want
that. Yeah. It's I tend to agree. So here's the thing. They're not going to be in this spot because they're not beating the Buffalo Bills, so it's irrelevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, if they did, I'll tell you what the fan base would want. The fan base would rather Tyrod play. Or would the fan base rather Daniel Jones play so they can be terrible and get in quarterback range? Like, Don, if that team was a top five pick, are they drafting quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Yes, anybody this year is a top five pick is drafting quarterback. Because that means your quarterback stunk, right? The only thing interesting one would be the Jets. Like, hey, by the way, Woody Johnson's got a lot of money. Aaron, thanks for your service.
Wow.
And we're going to go get our quarterback.
Wow.
Which, again, the best part about this is, and this might be a Dallas Cowboys scenario. And the reason we always bring this up is, right, the Jets were supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. Whether or not you believed it, they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. They get hurt when 4 or 5 games total, right? Have a second round pick, whatever they have, they can maneuver to get a top five pick. Aaron Rodgers would be so poetic if they went out and got their future quarterback while Aaron Rodgers was still their quarterback on the air. You know, you only got like 1 or 2 years left. We're doing our future, as opposed to saying, boy, look at this really good wide receiver we're going to get you here. I would love to see it.
That would be But it would actually be the right decision, because you know Zach Wilson isn't the guy, and Rodgers isn't giving you anything more than a season.
Correct.
Like, if the Jets did bottom out, they would have a responsibility to draft quarterback. Although, this is kind of where the guy above comes down, potentially. He's like, whoa, Joe Douglas, who told you get to draft another quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, you got to draft Zach Wilson and pay Rodgers. Oh. I don't know about that. Go get me Marvin Harrison Jr., man. All right, cut it out.
It's such a good point you bring up, too, because this was the first time the Jets were on Hard Knocks, like the Tim Tebow years, when they were still going up to, I think, Cortland University and having their preseason practices, training camps. But I remember that, too. Like, Mike Tannenbaum, and, you know, we see him on ESPN a lot, but this was back when he was a GM. And I could just see it every show. It's like, Mr. Johnson, he wants more money. He's the best cornerback in the league. Why don't we just pay that guy? And every time the show was like, I'm not paying him that money. So, you know, make it happen. And he always had to go meet him at some diner somewhere 100 miles away from camp and try to smooth things over. But it's like when the GM and the football side, like, knows what you're supposed to do here and what makes sense. And the owner's like, well, I don't care what you think. I own this team and I'm not paying him. I'm not re-upping his deal, even though he was the single best cornerback. You know, think about that. The best cornerback in the game is like, I just want more money. Every organization outside the Jets would have been like, you know what? What does he want? Fantastic. Just keep him happy and get him out there. And Woody's like, I'm not even moving at all. Like, we're not meeting him halfway. I don't want to pay the guy. Similar to what we saw out of Indianapolis this year. Running back stink. You stink. I drafted you. I think you stink. You better come to camp and like what you're paying for and be lucky you like it. To 3 weeks later going like, what are you talking about, man? This guy deserved every bit of this money. Oh,
that's so such a crazy 180, man. Such a crazy 180. And now the Colts are in the mix. Divisional race, AFC South.
Could happen. Let's get to this one, too. San Francisco and Cleveland are going to play this weekend. I was really looking forward to this, hoping Deshaun Watson was going to play and we'd have a spread around 3 or 4, but you would get a real look. Cleveland's got a great defense, maybe some weather issues here. Could San Francisco get tripped up? Bye week now, it turns into, for San Francisco, because Deshaun Watson, for a second week in a row, is cleared and ready to play, doesn't want to play, and now his coach is like, look, he's cleared to play. I'll leave it at that. Like, oh, this is good, man. This is really good for that relationship.
Is that how that's going right now?
That's how that's going right now, yes. Where the coach is no longer covering for his superstar quarterback, where you need harmony in the room. He's doing a John Harbaugh from what we saw last year in training camp when Lamar wasn't showing up because he wanted his money. He used to be like, yeah, Lamar's at the dentist. Now, Lamar had some family issues. Lamar had a personal day. It's not a big deal. Meanwhile, they're not showing up. And then finally got to the point going like, where's Lamar today? I don't know. Ask him. I don't even like the guy anymore. Next question. Like, oh, okay. That's what we're getting to in Cleveland right now.
Let's see. I know what it's going to
be. Can you imagine all that pressure? Like, Stefanski's under enough pressure. He's going to get canned if they don't win. And your quarterback that's like, I got a guaranteed contract. Let's take our time here. It doesn't work in football. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, see, I didn't see some of this Stefanski stuff. It's a little interesting.
Yeah, it's not going
great. Some of it's him defending him, you know. It's a little, I don't know, maybe it's a little mixed.
And how does that look in the locker room? Because that's always my big issue, right? He's standing there. Like, football players are maniacs. The stuff that they actually deal with, and I'm talking, like, forget about even, like, the cornerbacks. Like, oh, my hamstring's hurt, I can't play. That's different. But the offensive linemen are beat to mush every week and can barely, like, walk by Thursday. And they're playing, and Deshaun's like, hey, by the way, doctor said I'm good to go. But you know what? Let me swing the shoulder. Yeah, you know what? Shoulder not feeling too good, guys. Good luck out there this weekend. Get hammered again.
Yeah, this Watson thing is weirder than I realized.
And also, coming off of the Baker Mayfield play with one arm for a whole season, and right. Deshaun's like, look, when I wiggle my arm this way, it just doesn't feel right. And you know what? It's probably a great question for Dr. Chow this weekend, just to ask him, is he able to get a shot and play? Like, because I don't see Derek Carr doing this, right? Like, Derek Carr's like, dude, shoot me up. I'm playing football this weekend. If I can't feel my arm, at least I want to be out there. And Deshaun's like, or is he saying, look, man, Baltimore's really good. I don't know if I should be out there. And who's coming up next? Oh, shoulder's hurting, man. San Francisco, that shoulder is hurting bad, coach.
But let me ask you this. In terms of, I think I take the 9.5 points, no?
You know, well, who's actually quarterbacking this weekend? It's not a DTR.
It's not?
No, it's not DTR. Who's the, I was slipping my mind to back up.
They got rid of Dobbs. Mond? No, can't be Mond.
No, Mond's not there. Let me see.
Didn't they cut Mond?
Hold on, let me get their backup here. I should be better prepared for this than this one here. Let me see their estimated starter this weekend. All right, Browns, lineups. Walker.
PJ?
PJ Walker, yes. Phillip, as he's likes to be known sometimes. Like, P.J. Walker's getting the start this weekend in that game, man. Tough scene.
I don't know.
And it's funny, because when we were doing our talks about Pro Football Today, it's like, man, that's game of the week. If Deshaun plays, he's not playing, game stinks.
But it's so... remember the conversation, Donnie, that morning when we found out Watson was going to be out?
Yes.
And it was like, you know, how much of a difference is Watson going to make?
Yeah. They were all...
But Donnie, he's a touchdown difference now?
I guess they're so scared of what they saw without him. Again, it was still a rookie making his first start against a quality football team, but they were brutal, man. The offense was awful, and I guess San Francisco is on another level where they're just like, you know, Hargrave, Armstead, Bosa, just like, man, we are going to kill this kid in the pocket today, P.J. Walker. So maybe they will, maybe they won't. One segment to go here on a Football Friday before we send you off into the afternoon. Coast to coast! We'll be up next, but don't go anywhere. We're going to close it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the week. Man, time absolutely flies. Nice little card tomorrow in football, as we talked about, for college football. There's a lot of odds boost out here, back and forth. But as I said, some of the things I do like, I think Sam Hartman has a big day tomorrow against USC. A couple props I gave out this morning, leading with 264.5. I think he has to go over that. Even though everybody's like, hey, Estime's got to get the football. He's got to run hard. He's got to run well. I get that. It's a lot of people that are going to be able to eat there for Notre Dame. Why? Because I do think USC is going to score some points, and you have to fire back. Notre Dame's offense has been enigmatic at best for the past couple weeks. This week, I finally think they get back on track with a big offensive performance. I don't know if they win the football game, but it says a lot where they're actually favored in this game against USC. That's pretty telling for me, reading a line.
Coming off of a loss, a tough game,
a bad
in comeback
loss,
fashion against Duke. A tough spot, though, for them against Louisville. But, I mean, it certainly wasn't a good loss.
John Stadium, tough scene.
Here's the incredible thing, though, with this, right? It's like, oh, it's a tough, tough game for USC. If USC wins, Notre Dame's not going to be ranked anymore.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, all of a sudden, it's like, is Notre Dame even good? USC is damned if they do, damned if they don't in terms of this spot here up against the Irish.
60.5, by the way. Over, under.
Yeah, I'm tend to lean towards the over, though, right? Notre Dame should be able to attack this team in multiple facets, and, you know, Caleb Williams is obviously a special, special player.
And also, hot take, Alabama is going to go unbeaten in the SEC this year.
Yeah. I hope so. Three
ranked teams come outside of Arkansas, three ranked teams coming up, two of those teams at home. The one team on the road, that fraud Kentucky. Imagine that. The way we talk about Alabama for like the season, stink, don't we have it together. But what they do in the SEC, they went unbeaten right to the SEC title game here. Be hilarious if that happened on a down year for Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. But that'll do it for the show today. Great stuff all the way through. Thanks for the phone callers. Thanks for the listeners out there. As we approach week 7 in college football, week 6 in the NFL. Time absolutely flies. For Christian behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, we will see you on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th.
Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.